This is Victory House.
This is a house of excellence. Are you aware of that? Excellence is not how big, it's how tush. The Bible says in Genesis 3:8, it says, God spoke to Adam in the cool of the day. God is a man of excellence. I can tell you. I celebrate you, sir. Let's go straight to the world. I give greetings for my wife also. She could not come with me because this is America. Somebody has to take care of the kids. There's no, unlike Nigeria, where you can have like two or three nannies, two or three drivers. Yeah. You will think of it very well. Everybody adjusts their schedule a little bit, but she sends her love. And thank you so much for receiving us. Wonderful reception, wonderful protocol all from during the week. And the choir, everybody, excellent work. Luke chapter 15. Yesterday, while in the hotel room, the Lord woke me up at 1:26 a.m. I was so tired because we just finished the Global Leadership Summit on Friday. So I was tired. So I proposed in my mind. You know, sometimes you say, I will sleep this sleep today. So I proposed, but I'm owing sleep. So I'm going to sleep this sleep. And so I prepared all my body to sleep. At 1:26 a.m., the Almighty God woke me and started speaking to me personally first. Me. And all through the night. So he now pushed me here for us. You know, sometimes you are prepared in one powerful sermon to preach. And says, no, this is the one I have you to. Luke chapter 15, we're going to start from verse 11. Greatness unleashed. In this season, your life will manifest greatness.
Amen.
Please, I want to work with the media team so that, let me just leave it here. It says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. Greatness unleashed. Give me verse 12. Says, and the younger of them said to his father, you know, when I was praying earlier and I told us something, the problem is not that we can make requests or not. The challenge is, what type of request do you make? Says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. Now, listen to this. God makes an individual before he gives them anything. You know, the last time I was here, I talked a little bit of making. I didn't delve into it. Before God can give an individual something, he must first make him. Our prayer should not be give me. Our prayer should be make me. Before God gave Abraham Isaac, he had first made him a father of nations. Listen to me. God made Abraham first and foremost a father of nations before he gave him Isaac. Some of you are praying, Father, give me a husband or I die. If he has not made you, might die. Give me, if he has not yet made you to be a wife. Because the Bible says, he that findeth a wife. It didn't say he that findeth a girl. So if God had not yet made you a wife first, he will not give you a husband. Because the making precedes the giving. Some of you are praying, Father, I have to pray one prayer point now. Father, dollar, either dollar, give me money. Mm. Sir, until God can make you a custodian of his wealth, he will not give you the money yet. Because money has destroyed countless people before you during your own time, and it will still destroy after you. So your prayer point must change. If God doesn't make you someone who has the capacity, you know, capacity is something, you know, some people, if you give them $10,000, they can squander it in 1 week because they don't have the capacity to grow $10,000 to $100,000. But give some people $1,000 because they have capacity, they can make that $1,000 $15,000. So your first prayer point is the making. God must give you capacity. Why you are sitting there? You say, Father, please, listen to me. I need you to pray some desperate prayers today. We have a short time. But make sure it counts for you. Everybody say, Father, grant me capacity. Make me the person you want me to be. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Oh, Father, help me, Lord. God will make us first before he gives us. Say, Father, let there be a change. Let there be a reorder. Make me to the person. Be the person that you want me to be. In the name of Jesus. Raise and die. Let the work start from me first. Let the work start from me. Father, we just thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So the journey to greatness starts from within. Bible says, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living. It comes from the inside out. So is it living water coming out of you or killing waters? That same verse says, give me the portion of goods that followed. That's another mistake this young son made. Now, he had two sons, and it was the younger one who was making this mistake. The problem with this younger generation that we have now, which you and I fall into, is that we are so thirsty for goods instead of God. We are so thirsty. You can do everything. So that's why all our songs have it. All our songs. Money is a goal. I want to hammer. Everything. Money. Good. Seek for things that are not ephemeral. Bible says in 6:33 of Matthew, it says, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Now listen to me. A lot of people seek the other things. Why don't you seek in consulting something called root cause analysis? Go deep for the source. All other things will come. Instead of praying for money, you can pray for wealth. Sir, money and wealth are two different things. Wealth attracts money. You're going to pray for yourself. You know, sir, we all make these mistakes a lot of time. Can you be thirsty for God? You're going to say, you need a change of mindset wherein God fills you up with a love for him. Insatiable. 3:10 of Philippians. 3:10, sometimes, please pardon me. I'm sure you're not used to me. You're used to me a little bit now. I call scriptures from the back. Just take it like that. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Sir, the apostle had known Jesus for a while. But even at that point in time, he was saying that I may know him. You must get to a level of insatiable hunger for God. Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The psalmist says, as the deer panted for the water brooks, so also my soul panted. There must be this hunger. You must not get to the level where you think you know God well enough. You can't. There is no end to knowing God. And that's where this greatness journey begins. God, I'm thirsty for you. God, I'm hungry for you. Some of you, when you were probably when you came to the country you were, maybe before you came to America, maybe they gave it to you. You could fast 7 days. But now in America, they tell you, fasting is not too essential. You got me. Just speak for net to God. He will hear you first class. You are on your own. Fasting is not for God, it's for you. It's to bring you closer to him. This guy was negotiating and ready to let go of access. He had access to the Father. He would have known that everything that belongs to the Father belongs to me. But when the enemy wants to destroy you, he first changes your mindset. Let's go ahead. Give me verse 13. He says, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted the substance with riotous living. Now, to this young man's face, he thought he was matured enough to go. Are you together? He thought he was matured. I'm good. I don't need my father again. When you look at things with the human eyes, maturity is when you take independence away from your parents. So when I take independence away from my parents, I'm matured. That a woman will not want to marry a man that is living with his parents. But in spiritual things, maturity is dependence on the Father. Less of me and more of you. In spiritual things, maturity is more dependence on the Father. Father, what should I wear today? Father, which message will I preach today? Father, what school should we take our children to? Sir, the person you will marry is not the person that wears the best clothes to. Is the person that has the capacity and God inside of him to take care of your destiny, because your destiny is big. Not all men can manage the greatness that is coming for you. Dependence on the Father, access to him, don't trade it for anything. So, he took his journey into a far country. I wrote something here. I said we should not have anointing bigger than our character can carry. Because of if you have access to the Father, He will keep you. Bible says in 91:1 of Psalms, He says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I pray for you in this land, the Lord will keep you.
Amen.
One thing this young man also did, which I would use, is there's a difference between separation and isolation. There's a difference. I'm trying to teach, but I also know that I don't have enough time, so I'm going to try and preach also as I'm teaching. There's something you call separation unto the master and isolation unto destruction. So those words they sound like separation and isolation, but they are different. Separate unto me. Paul about it is isolate. Because you separate unto the master, but you isolate unto destruction. The next time God will give us a privilege, remind me I want to talk to you on this. If a lion wants to, I don't watch a lot of TV. TV is not my, the only thing I watch is maybe TV, maybe soccer. And just a few teams. I like I know they're going to beat us now anytime soon. Or they haven't beaten them. Depends on our time zone. And that's some people are not going to be concentrating. They say, oh, again. Your goodness will go beyond us now. If a lion, and so one day I was watching Discovery Channel and it was showing how a lion catches his prey. And so it will first roar. It sees them, maybe gazelles or everything, to roar. And once it roars, it instills fear inside of them. The enemy has been using the same tactics for years. Instills fear. And when they say, wah! And they start running. Out of fear, one will run the separate way from the herd. Everybody's running this way. He will start running the way. The one that runs the separate way is the dinner for the lion that day. When the enemy starts to put it in your mind, why do you need to go to church today? You can do beside that ministry. You know what we call beside that ministry? Beside your bed. You can do beside that ministry. You don't need. Why do you need to go to fellowship? You are on your own. Or when you check the roster, who is preaching today? Pastor E. Speak life, Pastor E. Kodlejo. Once you start to have those thoughts inside of pardon me, I don't ever enter this mood. Once you start to have that, the enemy is isolating you for destruction. It's a journey. Tell you, you are tired now. You walked all through the night in the factory, carrying everything. Sleep the extra hour. May you not sleep the sleep of death.
Amen.
Or when I wake up, I'm tired. You carry the children and go. Carry the children and go. Once the enemy isolated this young boy, he started beginning to go on a journey of destruction. Let's move ahead. We don't have so much time this morning. Give me verse 14. It says, and when he had spent all, the reason why he could spend all was because he asked for goods. If he asked for God, you can't spend all of God. I wish I had time to teach. These are things you take for like weekend. Please, next time, I don't know, even 3 years time, 4 years time, give us Saturday and Sunday. If people will come for Saturday, so that pastor will take, so that we can teach. You can ask questions. Sometimes these things are too much, where you just digest in one day. It's like, now you take it, as you want to blow. Right? You need time to digest some of these things again. Pray over them. Right? When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. Listen to this. Famine can only arise when you are not in where God has planted you. Give me Psalm 1 verse 3. Give me Psalm 1 verse 3. Psalm 1 verse 3. I mean, your media team is excellent. Can we put your hands together for them? Wonderful, wonderful. They're even there. If I even looked up, some other church will just say, 1 verse 3. They'll not give you 3 verse 1. He says, sorry, I mean 1 verse 3. He says, so blessed, from verse 1 says, blessed is the man. But now says verse 3. He says, and it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in season. Sir, when God plants you somewhere, famine cannot be your portion. Bible says in 15:5 of John, please still leave it here for a while. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. It says, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruits. Now I tell people, till Jesus comes, I can never leave RCCG. Not till Jesus comes. Because God has planted me here. Some will say, ah, I don't like that pastor because what I'm putting. May you not put away from your destiny. That pastor going to like me. He's always asking for tithe. Because of that, I will go out. May your life not be tight. Where God has planted you is where he's going to bless you there. Irrespective of how many church you come to Chicago, God has planted you in Victory House. This is where your victory lies. But he had spent all. Let's go back to Luke that where he went and there was famine in the land because he had spent all. Give me verse 15. In that verse 14, I'll say something. Never exchange something divine for something human. You know, there's one. I was reading one day, studying the Bible, and I saw when the Bible referred to Esau as the fornicator. I don't know if you've seen that place before. Where it said, Esau the fornicator. And I looked, I said, Esau never fornicated before. Now, I didn't hear. Did you know when Esau committed fornication in the Bible? Did you see anywhere like that? I didn't see. Then that means I said, there must be something wrong. There must be another meaning to the word fornication. Fornication goes beyond sexual, what do you call it? Sexual malpractice. Fornication is when you trade something big for something small. You trade something eternal for something ephemeral. Esau traded his birthright for a plate of pottage. That is fornication. That's why when a woman trades her dignity, you know, when we in lag those days, when GSM first came, then we used to call it jism. And look at then the handset used to have horn. How many of you ever used the handset that had horn before? Panana, panana. That time the best game on our phone was Snake. If you never play Snake, in fact, everybody in church, Snake Spirit, tell Rabban. People traded their virginity for SIM card. SIM card then was like 18,000 naira. That's almost like $500. Now, $50. $50. You know. Now, SIM card is as good as free. What you think is worth it today to mortgage your right, your birthright for, tomorrow you see was not worth it. That's what Esau did. I'm hungry. And so he made a permanent decision on a temporary situation. Some of us have mortgaged something eternal for something just that will just quench an immediate satisfaction. The enemy is a bad devil. So listen to this. There's nothing good in the devil. And there's nothing bad in God. There's nothing. No matter how he presents it to you, there's nothing good in the devil. And there's nothing bad in God. He traded something. He traded assets to his father for goods. I pray you will not make a wrong choice. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me move ahead. Give me verse 15. Bible says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. When we try to copy others, it will demote us in the counsel of God. Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. But it didn't stop there. What I like most in that verse is, it says, and you should go forth and show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The solution to the problem of this world is not politicians. The solution to the problem of this world is Christians. But Bible says, the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Bible, a version says, darkness cannot understand it. It is the absence of light that gives birth to darkness. Whenever light comes, darkness has no choice. It has to go. So, the situation around us is the way it is because we have refused as Christians for our light to shine. Bible says in Mark chapter 5, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see. Sir, you must get to a level where somebody sees you, they know that it's beyond what you are wearing. It's beyond your packaging. You carry something. When somebody asks you how far, don't say nothing. You know? There's something far. Far above principality and power. Yes, sir. There's something you carry that you are a solution provider. Bible says in Mark chapter 5, it says you are the salt of the earth. It's time. And that's why the theme of this convention, I don't know how many of you follow the convention, the annual convention in Nigeria, please, if not, go to YouTube. Your YouTube is not just only watching film and everything, and whatever you watch there, video, shaku shaku and co. May your life not go shaku shaku. think of it, that dance, shaku and shaku. You know Mary shakus? You know this? May your life not be in chains. Because that's, you know, the thing is, it's like chain, Abby. I'm not thinking of it now. I see you're trying to struggle with. Is there something else that you're making people? I don't know. But YouTube is not just watching those things. Go back and ruminate over the dominion. From today, you will enforce the dominion mandate. Amen. That was time. So please, verse 15. He says, we must be able to find out how God wants to fulfill the mandate that he gave us and not just go around copying others. And that's why, you know, sometimes even the church is now becoming more worldly and the world is now becoming more churchy. When we get to a place where we can't separate the world and the church again, there's a big problem. I entered here this morning and I was intoxicated. I told your pastor, I said, please, are we allowed to dance? Remember, I said, are we? Because I was high in the Holy Ghost. It's not tramadol that makes you high. You should have the Holy Ghost. You can't be more high than the most high. Sir, if you want to be high, just let the Holy Ghost shock you. Just one dose. Sir, you know, you can't recover from it in a long while. Stop, let's not go around letting the world set the standard for us. We are the ones that should set the standard for the world, sir. And that's the level we must get to. They say today, they are cutting, they are dressing like this. You see that in the church, everybody too, we follow. They are not cutting hairstyle like this. One head like this, Gorimapa, one like this up. Everybody too, we carry it. Today, it's beard gang, everybody bra. Tomorrow, it's king gang, everybody bra. Today, sir, we should get to a level wherein we are the ones dictating for the world. I pray every server that we have lost as a church worldwide, the Lord will restore in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give me verse 16 as we begin to now take a landslide. It says, and he will fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave him. This is a man that was living in abundance when he was with his father. This is a man who had people in his command. He had gotten to the level where he had started to eat with swine, pigs. You know, when in the Bible, every animal, there are different terminologies for animals. There are different things animals represent. When he talks of swine, they're talking of dirt. They're talking of the lowest of the low. He brought him down from that high place to a place where he began to scavenge. Some of you, you knew when you were in contact, when you were a carrier of the Holy Ghost, you will see a man who is sick, you will speak forth the word. The man will be healed. Now you're not going to the place where you're saying, I have migraine. What's the best drug for migraine? You're not going around. There was a time where you could speak forth the word and to come to pass. Now you don't have fear, is baptizing. The devil has succeeded in trading away your power and he has now brought you to the level where you are now almost, you don't even have an identity of who you are again. But we have a God. Bible says, taking me from the merely clay, he sets my feet upon a rock. Another prayer point for you this morning. If you say, Father, take me from the merely clay and set my feet upon a rock. Open your mouth and pray for yourself. Take me from the merely clay, set my feet upon a rock. Take me from the merely clay. Anything that signifies merely clay, it might be financial, it can be spiritual, it can be emotional. Anything called depression is not your portion. It's not your portion at all. No. No man has the power to make you depressed. You are saying, Father, I walk into the dominion mandate. I will not feed with swines. I will not fill myself with this, all the husk and everything. No. Rarebo Shandaria, Yarana Shandaria. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
Let me move fast. So, give me verse 17. Bible said, when he had come to himself. Now, the devil can only cheat you but for a while. Time comes when you say, no, this is not me. No. And I like that Sinatra song, I know who I am. You know, life has a way of cheating also. But until you get to the part where you are angry in your spirit, It starts from, revival starts from the inside. A whole me. I'm royalty. My name might not have a day inside, but I carry a day, I carry God's royalty. I might not be from the U.S., I might not carry a blue passport, but I carry heavenly passports. And so everywhere the sole of my feet will tread upon, I possess it. That's what the dominion mandate is all about. Irrespective of the condition of the jungle, a lion will not eat grass.
Yeah.
So, sir, a lion in Nigeria or Africa, it will still be a lion here. It will not come here and become a tadpole. So instead of conforming to the things of the world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It starts from the inside. Sir, you need to digest this word enough to know what God says about you. It's only then will you enforce the dominion mandates. What you carry is what will carry you far. There's an adage that says it's what the bird eats, something like that, that it will fly. If you get to a level where you don't read the word of God, and you listen to CNN more than you listen to the word, you are wounding yourself. Especially all those news stations, they don't have anything positive to say. They are deporting at Mexico. They are fire burning here. Rape of a 12-year-old child. Rape of an unborn child. Because the way some crazy people are going, even the child has not born, they can rape them. Killing, shooting of 32 people. Nothing. You don't hear, but sir, I don't know what's happening, no. But I know what's happening. Of sir, with this divine expo, Bible says in 119:89 of Psalms, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled." Concerning your situation, your case is settled.
Amen.
Let me go to, I'll come back to verse 16 when I want to link it to greatness unleashed. Give me verse 23. I'll come back here. Give me verse 23. Okay, and so when the guy came to his father's house, his father beckoned and said, "Bring it out the father calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." Give me verse 24. He says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to marry. And now I'm going to 25. Give me 25. He says, "Now his elder son," don't forget the master had how many sons? Two sons. "And his elder son came into the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing." 26. "And he called one of the servants and asked, 'What is this? What do these things meant?' 27. "And he said unto him, 'Thy brother is come, and thy father had killed the fatted calf because of he had received him and saved and sound.' 28. "And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him." Listen to this. In life, in Christianity, there are two different ministries. The ministry of reconciliation or intercession, and the ministry of accusation. The ministry of intercession or reconciliation, and the ministry of accusation. The church is like a hospital where people who are not feeling fine come to, and they encounter God, and their life remains, it goes to a different dimension. The church is a place where somebody who still prostituted yesterday night up until this morning woke up, and God told her, "Go to the church." And she doesn't have any good clothes to wear. She just comes with her red wig, bum shorts, and everything with her tattoos. Comes in because she's seeking for help. So imagine as the door opens now, a lady just comes like that. You know what the picture I'm painting? I'm sure some of you have already said, you haven't painted it more than me already. And just comes to sit down. Some of you are saying, "Who is that?" And she's just chewing gum. "So who is that?" "Osha, get her out of the church." No. Listen to this. It's our responsibility to bring people into the saving grace of Christ Jesus. We must be hungry for souls. There are people in your office who need help. There are people who are going through depression. People who are going through a nasty marriage. There are people who are going through so much sickness, some of them through oppression. They need you not to condemn them, but to embrace them. They might not like you, but they respect you. Because they know you carry something that they don't carry. It is the greatness of Christ inside of us that we must begin to manifest. If we are not careful, the church will become like this older son who is not happy that someone who is lost has come in. That song says, Amazing grace, how sweet. If no, sing along with it. That's it. All right. Like me. I was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. You know, sometimes those of us that have stayed so long in the church, like Pastor E, I'm sure he was born in the church, he's still in the church, and will forever remain in the church. There's no going out. Some of us that have stayed so long, we just have a way of looking, not you, sir. I'm saying some of us, I am including myself, of looking down, man, you mean you can't pray? You mean you can't? Because you know, we might not be able to empathize with the struggles of people who are coming from outside. But sir, we must get to a level wherein we have so much love for the unsaved. The same Christ hates sin, but he loves sinners. And Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. We must not be too comfortable with being in the church. We must go out and get people in. We must go to a level where we are so, the heartbeat of God is your heartbeat. So if you spend time with somebody, somebody says, if you, who you look at, you look like. You know, sometimes as couples, when people are married for a long time, they begin to look, resemble one another. See your pastor, I won't see your brother and sister. Moses went to the mount, and after spending time with God, by the time he came down, there was something different about him. If you spend time in God's presence, you begin to look like him, think like him. God's burden is souls, and that must be our burden. Must get to a level where you say, this week, Father, give me grace to witness to 3 souls. You are going out there and you've never witnessed to somebody before. A closed mouth will lead to a closed destiny. Speak to people. You're not the one that will convert them. Your own is just to sow the seed. The Holy Spirit will take over from there. The last thing. So let's go back to verse 16. And let me wrap this up. Greatness unleashed. After the man has gone through so much things. Now, so the prodigal son was not just only the younger one. Even the older one has already missed it already. Because his mind was already far from what his father is. He was not seeing what his father was seeing. So even though he was close to the father's heartbeat was not his heartbeat. The father was happy that one has come in. You are not happy. Then you may be a bastard. Because it's what should excite the father that should excite you. But he said, the younger one said, in verse 17, give me 17. He said, I'm going to wrap up with this. He says, when he came to himself, that means it's possible that you are alive, but you are not yourself. There's a difference between good and great. In fact, there's a book, I think it was Jim Collins or so, just from good to great. Good is the enemy of great. Sometimes we are so complacent on a particular level that we don't strive for more. Bible says in 4:18 of Proverbs, it says the path of a just man is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. You must get to a level where you are not satisfied with this current state and you are saying, Father, I need the next level. That's the journey to greatness. He says, and when he came to himself, and that's the level I want you to get to, where you begin to awaken the giant within you. That's what I want you to get to today. You can't get there because greatness is not a destination, it's a journey. You will know there's no getting there, but it's a starting point of saying, yes, you know, over the on Friday, we're learning something. You know, there's a finished battle and there's an infinite battle. A finished battle is a battle that has end dates. But in this infinite journey of greatness, there's no end to it till we meet him in glory. And say, and when he came to himself, today you will come to yourself.
Amen.
He said, how many of my father's hired servants in my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Ministry is in levels, not necessarily in titles. Why some people chase the title? You must chase the mantle. I prefer to be a brother that can cast out demons than a pastor that is even afraid of demons. I prefer to be a great man of God that has no title, just working for God, hungry for God, and be doing exploits, than a man with a title. Listen to this. Samuel, at a point in time, who was Ophni and okay, Samuel, at a point, when he was staying with Eli, he didn't have a title, but he could hear God. Eli was the prophet in the house. And when God was speaking, it was Samuel that heard him. Today, you will hear God.
Amen.
Forget the razzmatazz of church. Focus on the inside. Let something change in your life. Forget, let the journey of greatness begin from you in the inside. And then make an impact in church. I put here, I said, one of the signs that God has displeasure in a Christian is that he relegates him to the outer courts. In the outer court, you don't hear God on a first-hand basis. Now, a lot of things I'm saying to you, you should not be hearing them for the first time. God should have spoken. You know, sometimes what you hear in church is a confirmation of what God has spoken to you in your quiet time. That if you don't have a quiet time, you are cheating your spirit, man. You know, I got to a level just last month, where I noticed that Instagram and co wanted to wound me. I said, no Bible, no phone. Because sometimes when you wake up, when you see all the print, and when Nigeria is a few hours of us, so people will have loaded you WhatsApp messages, Instagram, everything full. So you see 20 new messages, 100 new notifications on Instagram, 50 new on Facebook, and you're tempted to check it. And once you start, for the next 1 hour, you are hooked in it. But I said, no. If I want to grow my spirit, man, no Bible, no phone. And so I wake up, I will study first. It's not impossible to acquire greatness from the world, even in the midst of your hectic schedule. You must arise and go to your Father. You must arise and come to a place of encounter. It is in the presence of the Father that greatness lies.
Yes.
I can come here and give you 5 success key of greatness. And you know, when we're doing exams those days, there's something called, is it key point? People will remember key point. Key point. One time, when we're asking, Ugo, see Ugo, be Abraham, mastering English, be writer grammar. So, you know, key point. Sometimes when you read key points like this, your life is better. Ask Oga, the lecturer, what's area of concentration? Some of you know what I'm talking about. So I can come and give you 20 key points of greatness, and I'll even make it rhyme. You know, I can do rhyme also. P, 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 P. Ah, the man is God. But sir, the key to greatness is access to the Father. You must get to that level wherein, man, take everything away from me, but you can't strip me of the presence of God. You must get to that level when people see you and they see in your eyes that this man is carrying something different. You must get to a level where you're not bothered. I'm not moved by the things I see or the things I hear. And what will keep you going? Bible says, thou shalt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. There's so much news for you to hear that will shake your heart. But there's one place you can be that will not move you. Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 verse 7, it says deeply rooted in him. Today I want to take it to a point where you will arise, because life might have put you on the ground. I want to take you to a point where you say, where you will come to yourself, because right now the you I'm seeing might not be you, the who God wants you to be. I want to take you to a place where you are not filled with fear again, but you have so much faith. I was in the text of Jesus of Rome. I said, faith come over here, hearing of the word of God, where you know that you can move the unmovables. You have a God that changeth not, but can yet change any situation of life. That's the level I want to take you to begin the journey of greatness. I'm not here to excite you. I'm here to take you back to the starting point where greatness begins. Because you can't win if you're not in the race. And once you want to win, if you keep your eyes on the prize, you must be ready to pay the price. Paying the price is beginning the journey. Can we bow our heads wherever we are? Begin to just speak to the Almighty God. Begin to speak to the Almighty God. He's the great one. He's the one that can bestow greatness upon a man. He's the one. It's at his feet that we can encounter greatness. And you are saying, Lord, breathe on me, Lord. I can't do it on my own. Life might have bashed me. Life might have taken me for a ride. You know, I might have even been forsaken by my husband. My wife might be cheating on me. You know, the church might have neglected me. You know, I might be so tired of religion. I might be so filled with so much things that the world has to offer. But I want to get to a place of encounter. I want to get to a place of fellowship with you. I want to get to a place of encounter. I want to get to a place where you are priority to me. Irrespective of the title I have in the church, people might see me head of department, minister, pastor. They call different names, but they call you bishop, evangelist, everything. But you know that your life is far away from the master. You have taken a journey like the younger son. I'm saying he took a journey to a far country. You know that you have begun to take a journey farther away from the master. Your heart doesn't long for God anymore. The songs that are endear to your heart are not the songs of God. What you like to watch in TV now is not things that will defy your spirit, man. You have become so lost from where you started from. And funny enough, you might have been at that level some years ago, but you began to take your journey away. Maybe in your quest of seeking for more dollars, in your quest of getting your status, in your quest of getting a lot of things, your heart began to sear farther and farther away from the master. But he woke me up at 1:26 a.m. yesterday, maybe because of you. And you want to come to a place where you want to say, Father, restore the relationship I once had with you. You want to come to a place where you want to say, Father, grant me a heart that will long after you, where I can pray. Pray for 30 minutes non-stop. Pray for 1 hour non-stop. Take me to a place where I begin to have my quiet time again. I'm not after, yes, I'm a worker in God's vineyard, yes, but it's not about that. It's about that relationship with you. Wherever you are in this auditorium, if your heart desire, as I'm talking now, your heart desire is to restore that relationship that you had with God. That relationship, you want, you're saying, God, I've gone far away from you, but I will arise and go back to my Father. If that's your heart cry, wherever you are, all eyes closed, all heads bowed, just raise your right hand. You're not coming forward, but you're saying, Father, I want to restore that relationship. I want to restore that relationship. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. God, you have nothing. It's a personal call. It's a personal one to you and your master. God bless you as all these hands that are up. You are saying, Lord Jesus, the journey of greatness begins with you, not with man, not with what man can give me. I will not trade away an eternal decision for just a well, who is looking at me or not. Thank you for all these hands that are up. If your hands are up, begin to just speak to the master. He's the only one that can draw you to him. Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. He's knocking on your heart. Thank you for all the hands that are up. I still have a strong leading in my spirit. You are still out there. You are contemplating. You are saying, no. You know, it's not a matter for you to begin to think about. It's a matter of you to just heed to him. He says, I'm calling unto you. He's drawing unto you. Thank you for the numerous hands that are up. I still have some conviction. There are still some other people. You are saying, Lord, take me to a place where you are priority in my heart. Where you are priority in my heart. Rado, Sondoria, I pray for all these hands that are up today. Today, the Almighty God will restore you back to him. Radade Sandalia, Nanana Shandaria, I pray for you and I speak to you today. Life might have taken you to the ground, but the Almighty God will lift you up in the name of Jesus. Your story will change to glory. I pray. Just like a seed, when it comes in contact with water, it springs forth. From today, your life will spring forth. Amen. I pray for the entire house, Victory House. I pray victory on all sides. Amen. Victory all the way. Amen. David said to Goliath, say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I speak to every Goliath of your life today. Every Goliath that has filled your heart with fear. Every Goliath that has made you feel defeated. Every Goliath that has changed your mindset of who you are in Christ Jesus. I say today, all Goliaths are going down. Amen. The Lord will grant you victory. Amen. The next time I hear from you, you will have a resounding testimony to share with me. Amen. As the Lord liveth, a new chapter of glory is hereby open upon you. Amen. Welcome to your season of greatness. Amen. I pray for everyone who also lifted up their hands once again. I pray as you put your hand on the plow, Luke 9:62, you will not look back. Amen. You will not fail. Amen. You will not fall. Amen. You will not falter. Amen. So shall it be in the name of the Father, Amen. In the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.